Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 129, in which we will tackle the box office report for the week ending October 25th, 2015.
You were on point today.
Wow.
How about that?
That is like every number. Well done.
Boom.
Well done.
And I just so Blake sitting next to me can see, I did not write this down. That is not written down.
I can confirm.
No. I'm actually, yeah.
He's just looking at cat memes.
No, I was actually on a
a lot of porn, no, but.
I was actually on a website for someone that can rewrite your resume professionally. No reason.
Are you leaving the show?
I'm leaving the show, and I'm looking to get someone to rewrite my resume. Oh.
No reason whatsoever.
Yeah, no reason. I'm going to be on The Nerdist.
Is this going to be Creepy Joe's bastard. Real Spoilers
yeah,
now?
Yeah. Oh, it'll be yeah, it'll be like those bands with like Nazareth featuring just the bass player.
Yeah.
And it's always like Tony Iommi's Black Sabbath.
Yeah. Creepy Joe's Real Spoilers.
I like it. We're doing horror movies all the time.
Like the Eddie and the Cruisers. You remember Eddie and the Cruisers?
Oh, yeah. Remember one time yeah. Behringer left?
And yeah. And when they were at like the, he goes at the beginning and it's like just the, I think the keyboard player. No, he was the keyboard. Behringer played keyboards. It was just, I think, the bass player at like a Holiday Inn, and they hired like some guy that sounded like Eddie.
Yeah. Who did the music for that movie?
John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown
yeah,
Band.
Yeah, that's right.
Bring it at me. I know my Eddie and
I
the Cruisers.
I know you do.
That
know.
Was Eddie and the Cruisers. I actually saw it at a screening. That's how old I
oh,
am.
Oh, really?
I won tickets. I was a kid. But yeah, I'm
trying to think.
I won tickets off KHTR.
Which was
the top 40 station at the time.
Okay.
It was the first radio contest I ever won.
I think I won one for Batman Forever.
I lost count. I lost count at about 40 to 45 radio contests that I would like,
and you
call
knew.
Attend.
You knew what your calling was going to be.
I was like really fast at dialing the push button phone. This is before redial is a fool's game. Like you don't want to use the speed redial
no.
when you're trying to win those contests because when you hit the redial, there's always that pause. Now maybe they're different today, but
I don't
when
think
I was,
they have a redial button.
When
anyway.
I was a kid, when you hit redial, which was state of the art technology,
yeah.
you'd hit redial. And there'd be like this pause while you're...
I thought you had to connect to an operator.
I did. I'd be like, Maisie?
Hold on, sir. Let me connect you.
WS452.
Right.
And there would be like this weird pause while your phone was like, okay, hang on. And then it would be like... And then it would dial. And then it took a while like for it to kind of register that you dial those numbers. And so I could dial way quicker.
Did you upgrade from a rotary to a dial tone one to... To win radio contests?
We are. My family had already upgraded because we had money. I don't like to brag, but we had money. So we already
oh,
had
Oh, you
the,
came from Touchtone money.
Yeah, we had exactly. Exactly. So I already, but yeah, I would win contests
My grandmother
all the time.
Kept her rotary, still has that rotary phone to this day.
I know the phone company for a while was going around like taking them back.
It's not connected.
And oh, okay,
she just
yeah.
kept the phone.
And they were old. Like, we will give you a phone. yeah. Like, we're shutting down rotary. Here's a phone.
Stop it.
Step into the 19th century for the love of God.
I said, no, I don't want to do
it. So they just won't even work the way that
I don't,
system.
I don't think so.
I don't think rotary phones
work. Because they don't
work.
Use tones. They use
right.
whatever, however that works.
Yeah, I don't think rotary phones work at all anymore.
That's like, interesting.
Yeah, so
there you
I
go.
Just strolled down memory lane. We should probably go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
I'm Blake Fail.
I'm Joe Battisi.
I'm Kevin Brackett.
And I am Tom. I was taking a drink. Sorry.
And, it went a lot faster.
Yeah. I forgot that we were down one. We were up one from the last two, but we're down one from our goal.
Yeah. So, right.
So let me take a moment for shameless plugs and show notes. Don't forget that we're available on the iTunes. So go there and rate and review us and subscribe. That helps us a lot. I know we say it every week. It's because it's that important to us. It really does make a difference. iTunes has us featured in certain spots, which is very kind of them, and we'd like to stay there. So if you haven't done it yet, do that. Or you could join our League of Show Sharers, and that also helps a lot when you spread that to your friends. Eventually, they'll be like, what's this show that they're this a-hole sharing every week?
constantly
Maybe I'll finally listen to one. Eventually we'll break through and we'll get a new listener, and so that
maybe
helps us tremendously. So some people that joined the League of Show Sharers this week: Ryan Burdenbecker.
It's a new one.
That's I think
wasn't
I've seen him
last week.
Was he? I think
I
he
think
might have been
new,
but
last week.
But that's a fun name to say. Yeah. I'm just thinking he probably had something of a rough childhood with a name like Burdenbecker. But
do you remember those standardized tests where you had to write your name? Like, you had a little block.
Yeah, I wonder if he had enough bubbles.
I went to school with a kid whose name was Kirsten Bruggenjohan.
Oof.
Didn't fit.
Yeah.
And that was just his first name.
Right. Did not fit.
So, yeah, Ryan, let us know. Did you have enough bubbles?
Yeah, in the little standardized testing.
He was probably homeschooled for that very reason.
We can't send you to
school. They're like, what are you going to do? We don't have enough bubbles.
Now,
got sent home.
Were those different than the mimeographs?
Don Ho got sent home for the same reason.
Is that why?
They didn't have enough tiny bubbles.
Aw.
Sorry.
It was a long way to go for that joke.
It's a long walk, but it was worth it.
Is that different than the mimeographs?
The mimeographs. I think we talked about that watching Ferris Bueller and the scene where they sniff the they all sniff the mimeographs, and my son's like, "The hell are they doing?" And so I was like, "Don't say hell." And this house, you say, "What the fuck are they doing?" And I give something
Kevin
the
other way.
Right,
okay.
right off the bat. But so I had to explain the history of mimeographs.
That's funny.
Yeah. So other people that shared the show this week: Librarian Cynthia, she's always kind enough to share the show. Chris Sanders, Travis T. Witt. I don't know. It's fun to say T.
He does have, that's kind of a radio name.
Yeah, I think he used to be in radio.
Okay.
Might still be. Now I feel awful. He is still in radio. He'll be like, thanks for listening. I listen to your crappy show.
You worked with him for 20 years.
You don't
years.
Even know if I'm in radio. You're a dick. Wayne Levanway, which sounds like a character in a romance novel.
Not like a good one, though. Like one of those little 50 centers. Like, you know, like, I'm just like, let's just use the same letter over and over and over.
Sorry.
The same sound.
Sorry, Lane. Thanks for listening.
I can see him with his shirt off on one of those painted covers of the romance novels, holding like a woman on a horse.
So is he on a horse holding a woman, or is the woman on a horse and he's actually holding all of them?
Oh, wow.
Horse. Wow.
I'd like to think he's holding all of them.
So is it a small horse and a small woman, or is he?
It's a Shetland pony.
It's a Shetland pony.
Yeah. With a normal sized woman.
No, with a big fat woman on the pony. So he's holding
like one of those Guinness Book of World Records motor scooter women.
Yes,
gotcha.
She's on her motor scooter, which is on the horse.
So in short, Lane, enjoy the Nerdist, because clearly you're never listening to us again.
Thanks
thank
for
you,
the support.
Thanks for your time. We appreciate it. We eventually ruin everything.
If Kevin doesn't Photoshop this image that he has created, he's failed as a person.
Yeah. Yeah. So Dustin at Nerds and Night Gaming, and Brent Smith. And Brent Smith is a good guy. He's like, to show you what a good guy Brent Smith is, he's actually, I know him as a friend of my ex-wife's, and I still like him.
Oh, good.
How about that?
Yeah,
that's got to be a good guy.
He's got to be a good guy if I can like him after all that.
It was her meth dealer?
No. No, that's why I still like him. Although I am fond of the meth dealer. It was got me out of a horrible marriage.
This is all on record, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Zing. That was a little too real.
That was a little inside real spoilers. Yeah. Holy
shit. That was not with two E's.
Oh, man.
Oh, goodness. And then the Carney Show, which is a
cease and desist order.
Yeah, which is a radio
John
show.
John Carney's a good dude. I've known John
Carney.
I've known John since I was a kid. He's
I'm
a good
on
dude.
The, locally, that's KTRS, the big 550 AM, and I'm on his show every week to review movies. So, after 2 years of doing this,
they finally shared the show.
So thank you. So anyway, those are people that were kind enough to share the show, and we greatly appreciate it. We really do. So
all right, it's been a week. See ya.
Yeah. So and also, if you did share the show, I said this last week, but I just want to get this out there. And we didn't mention you. You probably have your privacy settings set in a way that doesn't allow us to see them. So we're not trying to ignore you. And you can also share it directly through iTunes now. They have a little special button where you can click it and share it.
Do they have it on the iTunes as well?
I don't do Apple, so I don't know.
I know it's on the podcast app for the iPhone.
Yeah.
I assume that if they're putting it on the iPhone, I assume it's on...
It's all the same thing. Yeah. To me, I don't know. I bought my tickets to see Jobs through my Droid Turbo, which I was afraid wouldn't work.
Why?
Well, just because it's not Apple.
Oh, your money is good with them, too. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I know that if you update it to the iOS 9, they have the option to share it from straight from the phone.
Cool. So if you have that, feel free to share. It helps us a lot. It really does. So I believe that's everything. We will turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom. And I didn't know, did you want to, we had a couple messages from listeners.
Oh,
I
did
didn't
we?
Know if you want to do that on
absolutely,
this list.
Yeah. Then I will turn my eye, I will avert my eyes from the box office. Put your damn abacus away and you read us those messages.
It's away. We had a couple responses to last week. We weren't sure if people during funerals wore shoes.
Ah, that's right.
Ooh. And so I believe librarian Cynthia and Michael from China.
Now, we know the hillbillies don't wear shoes, but that's just the people in attendance.
Yeah. Right.
That's exactly. Not...
It's a different ritual.
Yeah.
It was part of my weekend that sucked. I'll tell you that right now.
I've got Michael's up in front of me here. And he says, in response to your question regarding whether or not people are buried while wearing shoes, my brother-in-law is a funeral director and said that a person is buried in whatever outfit their family brings in for them to wear. Now, different families have different beliefs, and some families want their loved ones to be buried in their best attire, to include shoes. However, some families do not have such strong beliefs and truthfully can care less whether items like shoes are worn. Mainly, they care that the appearance of their loved one is lasting, final remembrance for those in mourning. At times like this, it is unlikely the body will have shoes on. If you can't see it, it is not covered. His words, not mine. Anyway, hope that clears matters up. Keep up the great work on the podcast. I've been listening since Man of Steel episode, and I look forward to it every week. Mainly to see how off Tom will be on his episode count.
Now I really feel bad. I got it right.
That's
this
pretty
week.
Good. Yeah, you should have.
So I want to say this in recording right now. I want to be buried bottomless completely.
And
then I want
you mean like a magician when they saw you in half?
No, I mean like
you,
I just
so
want,
you want oh, no, the, pants. You want your bottoms just
you,
nothing
you want,
on it.
You want to still have the bottom portion of your body.
Yes.
You would just like it on natural.
And I want a completely open casket.
It's on record.
Maybe a clear glass casket so that it's just transparent. That'd be good.
I want somebody to put like just a little like tape recorder in there so when people walk up. It'll be like, hey, how you doing?
They always have that moment where you look at it and you're like, yeah.
We'll just take clips from the show.
Yeah.
Here's my T-ball story.
Yeah. Don't I look natural?
Yeah.
So,
that's actually a Bill Cosby joke, but since no one's ever going to listen to him again,
won't matter.
I feel I can steal it. Like people say, you stole a Bill Cosby joke. And I'm like, yeah, but he raped people.
So screw me off.
I don't feel as bad about it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next week, I'll tell my Noah in the Ark story.
What's a cubit?
Okay, and then I found Cynthia's reply. She said, this is back on October 20th. She posted to the page, interrupting my usual day of helping senior citizens read CAPTCHA words and teaching the homeless how to watch YouTube videos.
Interesting life.
I used my stellar...
Thought I had a weird job. I spent Friday driving around magicians.
What?
In my
they
day,
kept disappearing.
They do. Yeah, they don't worry, they reappear. But yeah, I had to drive magician. We did a show at where I work called Masters of Illusion. And so I had to drive magicians around to do media all day.
Come on, I think you have to like legally say like Masters of Illusion.
Masters of Illusion.
Did so they just keep pulling quarters from behind your ear?
Yeah, did they pull tricks on you like nonstop?
I made sure I had extra dirty ears so they would do it, but only once.
I can imagine driving a car full of like, I think this could be a good sitcom, like Tom driving around magicians and they're just like annoying the crap
out
of him.
No, it's like Tom driving around random acts that he, you know, he promoted.
Yeah.
Oh, I've had all the biggies. Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah.
Randy Jackson from Zebra. Not
nice.
The guy from American Idol, but
your dog.
Yeah, they had a song called Who's Behind the Door? And
okay.
Tell Me What You Want. Really good. Uh-huh. They were good band. The guy
sounds rapey.
No. the guy's a big vegan, actually. He was like an early
vegans
adopter.
Can't be rapey?
That's true. But he was an early adopter of all that.
Okay.
But
I'm sure he told you all about it.
I wouldn't want to be an eggplant around him.
The main guy from Flock of Seagulls.
With the hair?
Yeah. Well, not anymore, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It looks like me.
That's a shame.
Except doughier.
Not that I mean...
And that's not easy to do. I'm pretty doughy. Yeah. So
so I guess I'll keep reading this.
Yeah, please do.
She interrupted her usual day of captchas and teaching homeless people how to use or watch YouTube videos. She used her stellar librarian skills to discover that most morticians do place shoes on the deceased when they can. Families provide all the clothing, so it's up to the funeral home to ensure they are worn. If, for whatever gross reason, the shoes still cannot be altered enough to fit on the feet, they are placed inside the casket next to them.
Well, that seems dumb.
Well, that just seems like a waste of shoes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you don't want to walk around barefoot in your afterlife, wherever that may be.
So you're one of those guys, Kevin?
That's how you think that works?
I don't know. I have no idea.
You'd be buried. You would put pennies on people's eyes, too, so they can pay the 2 pennies to get across the river?
Yeah, but yeah. With inflation, it's...
Are you like $2?
Sacagawea dollar coins now, yeah.
I got to go buy Kennedy coins now.
Are you like a pharaoh? You want to be buried with a cat so you have a pet in the afterlife?
Yeah.
Well...
Okay. Yeah, it kills a cat, you know?
Yeah, well, as long as it gets rid of a cat.
Yeah.
Those things are gross.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I, so, good cat,
only good,
good
place for a cat,
cat
is Kevin's casket and a, and a microwave.
Oh, jeez. God.
Well, no. Hang on. In my defense, I poke him with a fork first.
Oh, well, you don't explode all the way.
Yeah, because if not, you'll have cat shrapnel everywhere.
Yeah, nobody wants
you
that.
You don't want to do that.
No.
That would be cruel. Yeah. I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm just trying to kill a cat.
Yeah. What do you want from me?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, geez.
Perfectly reasonable.
So
I strangle one first.
Yeah.
And then I throw it in the microwave.
So thank you, librarian Cynthia and Michael from China. And we have an email from Harry Stein. He says in the
Goosebumps. Very popular this week. Yeah.
He says in the Goosebumps episode, Joe said a character called Creepy German Guy is in the Monster Squad. Well, he's called Scary German Guy,
Jesus.
Joe. You chicken noise.
and you say you like Monster Squad.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Well, you have to remember, this is Joe's bipolar split personality emailing.
Right.
So he's actually just emailing himself.
I don't remember. Yeah. When I fall asleep, this guy takes
this
over.
Is,
and then,
this is very disappointing. This is like if I told someone my favorite monkey was Keith.
Like that's the one you're hitching your wagon to?
Yeah. So I really like Keith.
So which personality does Leanne like better?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah,
as far as I know.
All right, cool.
None of them.
Yeah.
Keith None from the monkeys.
He knocked her up, and now she's trapped.
Yep.
She can go nowhere.
You don't know how true that is.
I feel your pain, man.
And Harry,
thank gosh, just listen to the show.
Yeah.
And Tom, Harry would like you to know that the Inglorious Bastards all die, Miss Voorhees kills all the campers, and Jacob was on his deathbed in Vietnam.
I call bullshit.
Uh-oh.
She does not kill all the campers because the final girl gets away.
Zang.
Well, you'll have to have this discussion with yourself tonight after bedtime.
I'm going to write a note like above my ceiling. Like,
you dummy.
Remember.
Okay, so can I unavert my eyes? Can I look up?
Yeah, please. Look at this beautiful abacus.
Now I will turn my eyes to the box office report. Kevin is removing his abacus from storage and... Now it's at the ready.
It is, Tom. And this weekend, we had quite a few new movies came out. You had The Last Witch Hunter starring Vin Diesel. You had Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension. Hell, you had Steve Jobs, the movie of the day, went wide release. And none of them are number one.
How about that?
The number one movie in America is Goosebumps.
That's
starring
awesome.
Jack Black.
Look at that.
Only a 37% drop in week two, and it made $14.8 million.
That's a pretty soft number one.
Yeah, but that made the domestic total jump up to $43 million on a $58 million budget. And
I bet you Star Wars outgrossed it. With pre-sales.
It probably did.
I feel like we should probably
talk about that at some point.
Yeah.
I would be willing to bet like my house on the fact that it outgrossed.
It had to.
This movie.
Do you think,
in
you know, do you think that's some of why it's a soft box office? Like people feel like I already bought movie tickets for the week.
That's possible. I didn't think about that.
I already spent my discretionary income for a movie that comes out a year and a half from now.
I'm being silly, but 3 months.
But in its defense, this
two
is
2 months.
Oh, 2 months.
But yeah, right.
This is probably the furthest in advance people have ever bought tickets for.
Oh,
a movie.
Yeah,
it has
almost
to be.
2 months in advance.
Has to be.
I mean,
for a movie.
It's insane. Like 15 minutes after they went on sale, like pretty much every like good theater that I checked was.
Oh, absolutely.
Out.
I had to go to a second theater. The one that isn't usually that full by my house was instantly sold out.
I think this answers the internal dialogue we've been having about, yes, it's going to be the highest grossing film of all time.
Yep. Has to. I think we've chatted amongst each other where it's going to do the judging. So it made, if you haven't heard, it made $6.5 million.
Just in IMAX.
In a day. So they're saying it's going to be what, like $600 million?
$600 million opening worldwide.
They say it. What I read is a conservative estimate for a worldwide opening weekend. So you're talking.
Is it opening worldwide?
$300 million opening weekend, which I think the current is Jurassic World at like 218 or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
So
and it
this
did like
one,
550 worldwide.
It would not be surprising to me if domestically this does $150 million more on opening weekend.
Is it opening worldwide on the same day?
Yeah.
Everywhere.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's right.
Because they moved it around.
There's one
movie
that opens early, but I think that might be James Bond opens a week early in the UK. There's one big movie that gets a week early.
Typically, movies this major, they almost have to open them.
Yeah, they don't want to risk pirates getting out quick.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, I mean, you know, it is October, so I mean, it's not like it's a huge box office.
And what got announced that's opening the same day? Is it
Alvin
and the Chipmunks?
Alvin
and the Chipmunks and Point Break.
The remake of Point Break. Point Break from Christmas to
is it Christmas? Then maybe
it was always Christmas.
Oh,
all right.
Then maybe they okay. So, I think there is something. That's
are you sure that the Chipmunks is not a Christmas one as well? Did they?
I thought that I read that it's opening the exact same day as Force Awakens. They're assuming they're going to hope for the Batman effect.
I think they're hoping
they're
for the Honey I Shrunk the Kids effect. But honestly,
now everything's digital. They'll just move Force Awakens into more theaters.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Is I think what's going to happen is it's going to only open in theaters hypothetically. Because I think the theater's going to be like, I can sell four Alvin and the Chipmunks, or
I can sell out
a Star Wars. You're out.
Yep.
And you're right. They put the Alvin and the Chipmunks, the road trip, December 18th. That's crazy.
Is anybody back? David Cross hates those movies.
Jason Lee is back.
Okay.
Well, Jason Lee is kind of an idiot.
But he didn't do the second one.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he had a very small part.
He was in the
hospital,
I think,
took over the main role.
Is that right? Yeah. And he did a framing sequence where he was at the beginning and the end, but he wasn't
truly. Did Zachary Levi play Dave?
No.
He played like his
Dave's nephew or
cousin or something.
But he's back, and it has Jason Lee, Justin Long, Matthew Gray Goobler.
Yeah, those are just the voices of the Chipmunks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Justin Long's been Alvin for the last 4 movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so weird since Alvin has just a traditional, he sounds like Alvin.
Right. I think they were going for his humor and his cadence, probably, to, you know, but
yes,
Alvin,
but
it's Alvin and Chipmunks.
But I know
cares.
David Cross, he had a 3-picture deal and they pretty much, he was mandated to make that last movie and he didn't think that it would ever get made.
Oh.
And he was not happy about it.
Yeah, that was bad to him. I like David Cross and obviously it's not his fault, it's the material, but he was the bad guy in that movie.
Yeah. He signed up for the role. I mean, you read the original script, it's not like that was a great movie and you saw how bad your character was, why would you sign a 3-picture deal?
Does that say Anna
after
Faris
reading that
and Christina Applegate?
Yeah, they're the voices of
the girl
Chipmunks.
Yes. I feel no sympathy for actors who sign on for terrible movies and then complain about it later. It's one thing if you can see something in the script that was maybe in early script form this looked awesome, but it's about as cheap of a marketing ploy for children's movie as
well. You also you have a table reading.
Yeah.
So you got the final script.
I just don't buy it that he didn't know it was going to be terrible. He wanted the money.
Take
the money
grab.
And
yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
And with actors like at that level, David Cross or Patton Oswalt, I don't begrudge them for being in bad movies.
No.
You have to make money so you can tour around and do comedy.
Right. If I go see Big Fan, which was a Patton Oswalt movie, and it's not a good movie. It is a good movie, but I'm saying if it weren't a good movie, I would be like, oh, why'd he do that? Because it's a smaller movie. He did it because because he wanted to do it.
Right.
So I would that's more representative of his taste and his choice. But when David Cross pops up in Alvin and Chipmunks 19, I know that's that dude wanted
it's
to get
paycheck.
Paid.
Yeah.
He's got to get paid. You got to eat.
I don't care that he.
And I know you don't.
Yeah,
I don't mean it like that.
But it's
that
thing.
Quit
that,
acting above it.
Yeah. If you want the paycheck, then be professional and shut up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Say
Daniel Day-Lewis doesn't do Alvin and the Chipmunks 4.
Right.
You know, he chooses his roles.
Right.
And
he's in a different position financially, too.
Yeah.
You know,
he can do it.
Where David Cross, should just, instead of being so whiny about it, should just be like, you know what? I got paid handsomely. It's not the best thing in the world. I know that. But kids like it, so whatever.
Yeah.
And,
exactly.
And that enables me to take this probably not a lot of money
to
do this Netflix thing and bring back Mr. Show.
Right. That's why
if you want
which
the
which isn't Mr. Show, which is weird.
They don't
they
know
couldn't
the
get the rights
names.
To it.
HBO
right.
owns the name.
That's why Kevin Smith did Cop Out.
Right.
Yeah. It was like his buddies
everybody
who
knows
wrote the script. He's like, yeah, I'll do it.
You have to do the studio film a lot of times to do your feature. Right. I just, it always annoys me when I hear actors complain about roles that they've chosen to, and then they complain about it. And like I said, there's a difference when like something is just mismanaged terribly or something and it comes out as a inferior product. It happens from time to time. I mean, like, every actor and actress has it. I mean, like, Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence had that.
Right.
That,
you know, here's the deal. As much as we like to rip on movies when they're bad, like, in their defense of bad movies, oh, you're actually making me so it's really hard to make a good movie.
Yeah.
There are so many moving parts that go into a movie, whether it be the music or the acting or the writing or the directing or the set location or costumes, things that you don't even think about, that as soon as they get screwed up, it's all you can see, like a weird puppet baby.
Yeah.
And
Bradley Cooper just talked about that.
Right, yeah.
He was,
I mean,
like, I don't know.
You don't even think about that if they do it right, but when they don't do it right, it's all you can see. And so, like, all that stuff that goes into making a movie.
I wish that baby was a puppet.
I know, right? but all that stuff that goes into making a movie that can get screwed up, it's really difficult to make. A good movie. It's amazing that we get as many good movies as we do.
And we're spoiled because we see so many good ones and they're in the mainstream, but there are thousands, for every one really good movie, there are thousands of bad movies that you never see.
Go look on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, if you look at Rotten Tomatoes and it'll tell you, like, what's releasing that day, so you have, like, three or four, you know, studio films. There's also, like, 15 to 20 other movies that don't even get talked about.
Yeah. Right.
Because they're... What was that one that we reviewed that was shot in St. Charles? It was some like the vampire movie. A couple other sites in the area were giving it good reviews, and then I found out later they were giving hand jobs. It was bad. God, I can't even remember.
Shadowlands.
Shadowlands. That's what it was.
I saw that. It was not.
I think Joe is in that.
The Joe Moskis.
Yeah. I think he's a cop in it.
Yeah,
he was.
Yeah.
The producer like emailed us and was like, "Hey, can you review this?" And Kevin and I watched it, and I literally emailed her back. I'm like, "You do not want me to review this." I'm like, "I'm sorry. We'll put up something that, you know, it's being released,
right.
But I'm not you don't want me to review this."
Right. Yeah, just be honest. Yeah. You know? It's like, we won't write a review.
I wasn't going to trash her and film.
And the same way
they're nice people.
Yeah, in the same way that I don't know that we would want someone reviewing the podcast at a national level. Like, I don't know that maybe we're quite there yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly don't listen to a lot of other conversational podcasts. Maybe we're not so bad. I don't know.
You'd be surprised.
Really? Yeah.
Well, there's some pretty rough ones out there. Yeah, are big ones.
Yeah, but we should probably redirect to the box office at this point.
So Goosebumps at number one.
Yeah, we're half an hour in. We're on the first movie of the box office report.
It's an old school Real Spoilers episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the rest of these shouldn't take
I got a pumpkin patch to get the kids to.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right.
Well, we got Mark Watney still hanging up there on Mars. He's making $14.7 million, a 31% drop in week four. That film's up to $165 million domestic, and foreign's made another $181. So it's up at about $350 million worldwide on its $108 million budget.
Not sweet.
It's good for it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's still, I mean, people love this movie. It's getting, I mean, and it's obviously well-deserved from what I've heard.
Yeah,
so.
It's really good.
Yeah,
it's
very,
really
very
good.
Yeah,
so I'm looking forward to seeing
that. I love the book.
Yes.
Did you read the book?
The book is better, but the movie is really good and remarkably faithful.
Yep.
Nice. Number three, Bridge of Spies, that is at $10.7 million, a 30% drop from last week. And I don't know if it did it open wide this weekend or was it last weekend?
I think it opened wide last weekend.
Okay.
Wide last weekend.
So
yeah.
Second weekend release, $31 million domestic on that one. And it had a $40 million budget. So getting pretty close to the budget. No foreign money yet. I don't know what the plans are to release foreign.
Yeah.
Probably
it's Spielberg. I think it'll roll out. And it does have a little international vibe because he goes to
Russia.
He goes to East Germany.
Okay.
So it might be kind of a slow rollout overseas.
Yeah, and this is an adult movie, like not an adult movie, but like for grown-ups. And so those always have a little bit of a slower pace about them at the box office. The fact that it only dropped 30%, I think, is solid. I think it's probably going to end up at about 75%.
Yeah, and I heard a couple people talking about it that saw it last week, and they said it was good. So it's all been pretty good word of mouth on it. Number four, The Last Witch Hunter, the Vin Diesel movie we almost talked about.
So boring.
This is a movie based on Vin Diesel playing Dungeons and Dragons.
It was, in my review on KTRS, I said this was about as exciting as listening to someone talk about a Dungeons and Dragons game.
Yeah. It was that bad, huh?
Yeah.
It was that awesome?
It was so brutal.
Well, you don't want to. We were just about to start a podcast about it. Yeah.
We should call an Audible.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was so, so boring. Like, I barely even remember what happened. He plays like a witch hunter. I don't know. I don't remember if he was.
Well,
remember if he was.
Wait, hold on.
Was he the last one?
How many are there?
Here's the deal. In my defense, it's a very vague title. Like, is he the last witch hunter? Is there only one witch left and he's hunting her? Or, you know, like, or maybe.
He's the last witch hunter.
Oh, yeah. There's only one witch and she's a hunter. It could mean a lot of things. And he kills a witch at the beginning, and she curses him. She curses him with immortality, which is like being cursed with a freakishly large penis.
Yeah.
Like, not that. Oh no,
anything but that.
Yeah, and then it takes place in the modern day because it's cheaper to film.
So it's Highlander,
but not good.
Right.
Yeah. And
so
then
it's I, Frankenstein.
Michael Caine's in it, which might be his biggest paycheck movie since Jaws 4. And except now instead of paying for his vacation house, it's paying for like his Lipitor.
But
he plays his priest sidekick, and he's called a Dolan.
Okay.
I don't know. I went to Catholic schools. I've never heard the word Dolan referred to as priest, so I don't know what that means.
Huh.
He's the 36th Dolan, and then he gets injured, and he gets a new Dolan. So he gets the Elijah Wood plays the 37th.
So Buffy the Vampire
Slayer. 37th Dolan in a row.
Yeah.
And it's just a boring, hot mess of a movie.
I just don't think he's an action star.
Like,
they
keep trying.
They
but
do. I mean, I think he was at one point, but.
You don't think Vin Diesel's an action star? He's the action star of the third highest grossing, fourth highest grossing film of all time.
What action beats does he have?
But outside of that, it's just one failed franchise after another.
Yeah. I don't think he's not the draw of that movie.
Yeah. And the Pitch Black, the first one did good, but the other ones haven't made
I think
money
it works in Fast and Furious. I think he's clearly the draw for a lot of people.
I'm not saying he's not the draw, but I'm like, he's not the center point for the action sequences. Like in that last he crashed a car in the last movie.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
But
he fights
with a giant wrench.
Have you seen that wrench? Him and Statham fight?
He does,
wrench fights, I think.
And then he has the
Is that a euphemism?
He has quite a few action.
But if you watch, it's an ensemble piece. He is not moving very quickly. The Rock moves faster than he does.
I still think
he's so stiff.
Without Vin Diesel,
we're still talking about his wrench.
Yep.
The Fast and Furious movies aren't as far as they are right now. I mean, look what happened when he wasn't in them, and then look what happened when he came
back.
That's
true. That's a good point.
He makes those movies. He is the. I mean, people love Vin Diesel in
he
those
He doesn't have to
movies.
Do much, but he
yeah,
is
he's the draw.
He is
yeah.
a draw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
So, but yeah, I don't know
and
about
he
his
is
friend.
Groot.
He is Groot.
So,
and
he
that's
is.
Fine. He's trying to be Black Bolt, too.
And the Iron Giant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So he is the Iron Giant.
Man, a few words.
Yeah.
But
probably best that way.
Lots of grunting.
Are you still talking about his wrench?
The wrench fight? Yeah. You should see those special features on Furious 7. Number 5, Hotel Transylvania 2. It made.
Wait, we haven't gotten any new movie. Oh, The Witch Hunter was new. Okay.
Hotel Transylvania 2 brought in $8.2 million, a 35% drop in week 5. That is up to $147.4 million domestic, and going over to the foreign side, $131 million, so up just a little bit under $300 million worldwide.
Ugh.
So right in Sandler's pocket there, just funding
Whatever.
All those grown-up movies that are
going to have to.
They got so much money, the next one will be Bed and Breakfast Transylvania.
they're gonna franchise it,
yeah.
Right? So that movie is doing quite well, and I'm guessing it's going to stick around the next couple weeks for the Halloween season here. Number 6, Steve Jobs, opening wide to $7.1 million. So it's a 369% increase since it opened up on now at 2,493 locations. It's sitting at just a little under $10 million domestic. I don't know if a movie like this has a lot of foreign appeal, a kind of biopic that's about, you know, an American company. Do you think that's
I don't
gonna...
know, because Apple is certainly a worldwide company.
Sure,
you can tell because they keep all their money there.
It is the largest company in the world right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean,
they have more cash than any company.
They have more cash than the country.
Or $750 billion is what their worth is.
Jeez.
They are the next closest is $500 billion, and that's Alphabet, Google.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, like, they're pretty big. Although that's funny, they probably could have invested the budget in this movie in Apple stock and done more or got more money than this movie.
Funny. But I mean, certainly we'll go into it, but it has nothing to do with the quality of movie. I don't know if a biopic about like a CEO of a company, I just don't know how that does overseas.
It's a little inside baseball.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I guess we'll see how that expands. But, you know, this is a small movie, $30 million budget. It's made 10 so far and it just opened.
Okay.
So.
I saw the movie. I didn't love it. I won't say I disliked it, but where did the $30 million go?
Michael Fassbender.
Did he get 29 of it?
Yep.
Because like, this whole movie takes place in, like, three rooms. Like,
oh, really? I mean,
who directed this?
Danny Boyle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, you got Danny Boyle. You have got to pay Aaron Sorkin for writing it. Fassbender,
Rogan.
Kate Winslet, Jeff Daniels. I mean, you split all those up.
There are a million or two apiece. Yeah.
That's 30.
I guarantee you most of it was probably paychecks. I mean, yeah. Not actual production.
Right.
Yeah, because there's you saw it, right, Blake?
No.
Oh, okay. So, but yeah.
I saw the trailer
multiple
times.
And it's represented.
Oh, I watched the Ashton Kutcher movie, yeah. So I mean,
Isn't like a surprise car chase or anything. It's not the trailer. He doesn't all of a sudden like get stranded on Mars.
We got to do something to increase his box office.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
We'll put him on Mars. So
anyway, yeah, I guess we'll see how that ends up doing over the next few weeks here. Number 7, another new movie, Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension. What a weak opening for a series that makes a ton of money.
No.
$6.9 million.
I think they screwed themselves. They screwed themselves 2 years ago.
With the marked ones? Or
with the Mexicans?
Yeah.
When they went off.
They went off script. And yeah. I think they may have done some damage to the...
To the brand.
Yeah.
I mean, it just was it's a weird move to move it to a totally different...
Well, they were doing. I mean, they were doing like Saw. They were doing one every year.
Yeah,
and then they skipped because this was supposed to come out last year, and they pushed it back to this year and put in the marked ones in its place.
And then they
place.
Changed it to. I mean, I know that you said spoilers. There is some connection, but they changed it to a totally different country, to a totally different.
The
setting.
Marked ones is yes.
Yeah. So
this
one.
This one takes place.
Is the marked one in a different country?
Yeah.
I thought maybe it's definitely. I think it's
in California.
I thought it was in California.
From the trailers, I thought it was America, but it was like Mexico.
Oh, was it? I never saw it. I thought they actually went to a different.
I'm going only on the trailer.
No, you're right. They did. Okay.
I heard a Donald Trump stump speech saying it was wrong. What was wrong with America?
But there's lots of raping in the movie, right?
All kinds of it.
Because it's Mexican.
It's so
that's
awkward.
What Donald Trump told me.
Yeah.
If you listen to him, I'm just telling you what Donald Trump told me.
Yeah. I'm just listening to the future president of the United States.
Yeah. He's just. It was just nothing but wall-to-wall ghost raping.
It was very awkward.
Yeah.
Why
really
did
know
I
what was
see
going
this
on.
Movie?
Yeah.
What?
Is this the ghost dimension? Is that what you see the ghosts do?
Yeah, they do.
This one, I think, goes back.
No,
it is not a prequel, but it takes place in the same house as the first
one. Okay, we're back to the house.
You were back into the
house.
Because
that was the deal. People were in this house, right?
The two sisters, Kate and... the other sister were possessed or like were offered up by their family.
This movie series is f-ing terrible.
I love one and two. One and two are a lot of fun.
Have you seen one since Blake? We went and saw one in theater. Have you seen another one?
I think I saw the second one.
Yeah.
Because someone's like, oh, just give it another shot. And I gave it another shot, and I that person deserves to be punched.
They deserve another shot.
Yeah.
But I think that like, so the two sisters are part of like a coven of witches, and they were the offering to this thing, the Toby character, the Toby ghost.
Toby.
And like that's the...
It's Toby from The Office.
Yeah. That actually wouldn't be that bad. Everybody hates Toby.
It's
Toby Maguire.
Yeah. Toby Mac?
Are we just going to keep going?
Wow.
No. I don't know any other Tobys.
Toby
Keith?
Was
that Toby who ran away and joined the circus? Wasn't that a Toby?
Is that
a
Toby?
I don't know.
But either
Tobias
way...
Tobias Funke? Yeah.
This is, the, I guess, back in the house.
The anal rapist?
Okay. Yeah. He's an anal rapist. Yeah. All right. So, Paranormal Activity of the Ghost Dimension.
What's the budget?
$7 million.
That's a lot for Blumhouse.
The budget, I need a wiki.
That's Blumhouse, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, this was their breakthrough.
This was their breakthrough,
and this was thought. And then once I said it out loud, I was like, wait, is that true?
It is, yeah. Yeah, this was their big... Because I think the first one was like $25,000 and made...
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, no, no. This is what
insane.
Put Blumhouse on the map. Apparently, the budget was $10 million.
Wow,
and
that
it made
is high.
$10 million. So Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, the budget for the first one was what, $19,000,
something like that.
Something.
Well, yeah. And that's the other thing is like they kept everything really like in the 1, 2, and 3, everything was really small.
Right.
They would do like in 3, they did something kind of cool where they did like they used the Xbox Move.
Yeah.
So like they were kind of they would add things to the series.
Xbox product. Move.
Or Jesus, the Xbox old. What the Kinect.
Kinect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Xbox Move.
Yeah, Xbox Kinect. Where like they would use the infrared on a camera. Yeah,
on
the
face.
They used face. No, they used the power glove, I
is
think.
That what it was?
Yeah,
they're that's
using,
awkward.
They're using the power glove.
Just trying to swing at the ghost with the power glove.
And the super scope. Yeah.
What's the super scope?
I heard
scope?
In the prequel it's an Intellivision.
Yeah.
They're just throwing the Atari controllers at anything. But yeah, like they used the Kinect camera. With the infrared, so they could see things move in the infrared. So they were doing at least trying to do different things.
I wonder who helped finance that picture.
Yeah. So just to step back and go into our time machine here, the original Paranormal Activity had a $15,000 budget, and its opening weekend was almost $20 million domestic. So on a $15,000 budget.
And they almost reshot that movie. They almost completely refilmed it with new actors.
And,
are you serious?
They were this close.
Oh. Yeah.
And I think, was Spielberg involved with the...
Yeah. Well, like he got the tape, right?
Yeah, of like getting it out there. Yeah. And like they were about to reshoot it. And I think Spielberg was like, at the last minute, was like, you know what? There is nothing wrong with this movie.
Yeah.
Just put this out. Why spend a bunch of money on it? Just dump this out.
They put
that
dumb story about him where he was so scared of the movie, he had to dump the tape into a garbage bag and throw it out. I'm like, that never freaking happened.
Yeah, got the movie.
Nobody watches it on tape.
But yeah. But that movie.
It's not Quentin Tarantino.
That movie went on to make $107.9 million domestic, $85.4 million foreign, so $193 million worldwide on a $15,000 budget.
Yep.
And yeah, that was produced by Jason Blum and started the whole
Blumhouse.
I think people are, I think the Paranormal Activity thing might be over.
It probably is.
I think they need to find it. I mean,
they'll give it a break and then they'll come
open
back.
Open to 10 million?
It says 6. I'm showing.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was the budget. I'm sorry. So no, it opened to a little under 7 million on a $10 million budget. That is almost unheard of, for a Blumhouse movie to do that kind of,
The brand.
Business. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not
it's an established brand.
Right. Yeah. So,
I don't know. We'll see what happens with that franchise, but we may not get one next year with that kind of performance.
Probably not.
Number 8, Crimson Peak, made $5.4 million. That's a 59% drop in week 2. So that's only to $22.2 million. Domestic. That seems pretty weak for that movie. It had a $55 million budget.
To me, it doesn't. Like, I think that the audience that's going to see a Guillermo del Toro horror flick saw it.
It just it had know, Tom like, Hiddleston. It just it seemed like a pretty big.
Do you think
movie.
Tom Hiddleston's even like that big of a draw though?
After Avengers, people love him.
I think they love him in Avengers.
They love him as Loki.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, I don't know if he can sell it yet. I mean, he's a great actor.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he's that.
22.
I don't think he's an above the title actor.
Yeah,
you know,
$22 million domestic though in 2 weeks for that movie. That just seems weak to me. I'm surprised that it didn't do a little better. I mean, it's October, you know. I mean, if you're gonna go see a horror movie, you're gonna go see Goosebumps, Hotel Transylvania 2, both kids movies, or there's Crimson Peak and
Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, well,
you know what I'm saying.
But I'm surprised that people aren't picking this.
It does not seem like your typical horror flick. He definitely has a look. To his movies, I think it could be somebody people might consider it a little bit quote unquote artsy. I don't think I don't consider it artsy, but I mean like it's got that look. I get what you're saying.
They may just want like a slasher film kind of thing, and this is maybe looks like it has a little too much.
It's a ghost movie. Yeah. You know, that's what I think it is.
Gotcha.
I didn't see it yet, so.
Well, we'll see what happens with that one.
Yeah.
Number 9, The Intern. They really are still strolling in to see that
really
one.
They really are.
Week 5, it made $3.6 million, a 34% drop. So that movie's still in over 2,000 theaters. It's made $64.4 million domestic. And even on the foreign front, $77 million. I guess De Niro just has that foreign appeal.
Yeah, I guess.
So almost $150 million worldwide. And it's an undisclosed budget, but I'm thinking 30.
I'm thinking 40 to
34,
50.
Really?
No more than 50. It just because you know De Niro's not cheap, and Anne Hathaway. I'm sure she gets a
But you know they might have back end deals on a movie like this.
They could.
$40 million is what.
Okay.
Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So we both win.
Tom. Yeah.
We both. But I think really, really America wins.
America wins.
Right. And that's the world.
Right. And the world with the international box office.
Yeah. We're all winners with this one, Tom. And then rounding out the top 10, Woodlawn, $3.1 million, only a 23% drop. So that's pretty surprising. Now, this
that's
was
the football,
Christian
movie?
Football movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Starring not Rudy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But only a 23% drop. It's made $8.4 million domestic now in week two. But it must be getting some good word of mouth if it had that strong of a second week.
I'm going to leave your mouth joke alone with the Christian people, but whatever.
Well, it's not a Catholic
that's
football
true.
Movie.
That's a good point,
it's
yeah.
A
thing. Yeah. So, and I would just like to point out that it's not in the top 10, but the other new release of the week, which was almost our movie of the week. Jim and the Hologram has made $1.1 million.
Open at number 15.
Did they expect? This is a Blumhouse movie. Seriously?
This is your guy.
That's what I asked when they made this movie. Yeah. What did they expect? Yeah. Why?
Well, I mean, making the movie makes sense. No, it does. It does. Like, I mean, every woman I've talked to of a certain age is like, It is just ecstatic about the film.
Yeah.
But none of them went.
Well, apparently.
And it was bad. It was, like, mind-numbingly bad. Like, this movie has such a tenuous grasp on knowledge about the way the world works that I honestly think it might be the first movie for 9-year-old girls written by 9-year-old girls. It, like, they release a YouTube video.
Okay.
Okay.
The step group, one,
goes, the group, right?
The girl does.
Jim.
And
it outrageous?
It is, truly. Uh-huh. And it goes viral. And so then they get signed to a deal. And then they do a concert. And now they're really popular.
They do one concert?
Yeah. And the news talks about them nonstop. Like, there's so many scenes of the news talking about Jim and the Holograms.
So wait, one viral video.
Correct.
A concert. And everyone's talking about it.
Correct.
With all the viral videos out on the
internet.
Correct.
Okay. And then they do another concert, and now they're even more popular, and then her evil record manager tricks her into signing a solo deal.
It's got to be played by Paul Giamatti, right?
No.
That's his character. He owns that character.
No, it's Jim and the Hologram, so it's got to be a woman. It's Juliette Lewis. Lewis is now the female Paul Giamatti,
okay.
And which means if I ever become transgendered, I will look like
Juliette
Lewis.
So, all right. Good for you.
Yeah. So an upgrade.
You should work on that.
Yeah. And so... And then the band leaves because they're mad. And then literally in the next scene, they realize that she's a really nice person and they shouldn't be mad at her and they're sorry and they're back. And then they do another concert and then they overthrow the record manager and the movie ends. Now, all of that is pretty crazy.
Okay.
However, let me add this to the mix. At no point, and this is not something I forgot to mention, at no point do they do this thing called record a song and release it. So they have all this immense popularity. They've never recorded an album. They've never released a song. Oh, and by the way, all of this takes place in the span of a month.
Wow.
Wow. Sounds pretty realistic.
Yeah.
It's
just like,
awful.
Yeah. It is just ridiculous.
Truly.
What were they thinking?
I don't know.
I do. Like, I have to. So, like, the nostalgia factor is there. So, like, in concept,
is it that popular?
Yes.
That popular?
Yes.
You have to remember, you're not the demo.
Right, you're
a boy.
Well, that's. I'm truly asking.
I will tell you.
It was.
Jim and the Holograms. I remember Jim and the Holograms being everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They partnered it up with He-Man. Like, you would put it. They would,
and also I think
it's
in the same way that
quote unquote boy cartoons.
Yeah, in the same way that Goosebumps like started after my time. I think this ended before yours.
Okay,
you know what I mean? Like, because this is definitely more of an 80s thing.
Yeah.
So it stands to reason that one, it's before your time, and it's not targeted to your gender.
It's just not even one of those things. Like, I have a pretty good pop culture knowledge,
sure.
But like, I just don't. I'm not just like, oh, and of course I didn't see it. But Jim and the Holograms, what, you know? It, to me, it's not one of those things that stands out.
I remember it being a pretty big thing, especially with my sister.
Yeah, and that
was like there was like Jim and Shira and you know, there was all these different like
Shakira.
Shakira.
Well, and it's surprising it didn't do well. I mean, this is from the director of G.I. Joe Retaliation, so.
Yeah, it's not a director choice.
I feel like.
Well, no, he did do Step Up, right? He did one of the Step Up movies.
Well, he did the sequels, not the original.
If theaters had games of Mall Madness going on during the Gem and Hologram screenings, yeah, they would have made a killing.
Yeah. Is he in post-production on Now You See Me 2?
Yes.
Now You See Me was a fun movie.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the magic one with...
It was easily forgettable.
Jesse Eisenberg
fun.
And... Isley.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I just watched that last week for the first time.
Because you said it, I was trying to make it a horror movie in my head.
No. Oh, right. So, everything. No,
that movie relies on the end, and once you've seen the ending, you're kind of like, okay.
Although, after seeing Now You See Me, all I can think of is they need to do a reboot of Columbo with Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
He would be
really good. He'd be a very good Columbo.
But anyway, is that everything?
That is the box office, and pretty crummy box office for new releases.
That is true. Yeah. So, well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome, Tom.
So I guess that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table, and everybody can say where to find them.
I'm Blake Fail. You can find me on Twitter at EpicFail, F-E-H-L.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, B-U-T-T-S, 21.
I'm Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And I am Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you would like to continue the conversation online, we will be there waiting for you at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. Or you could email us privately.
Hey.
If you have some adult thoughts.
Wait a minute.
You get the emails. It's your problem. To realspoilers@reviewstl.com.
That explains my spam box right now. That is.
and don't forget, we're available on iTunes. So go there, rate and review us, or wherever finer podcasts are sold. So you can review us there. We might not see it. So if you want us to read your review that you leave on Stitcher or whatnot, send it to us because we're kind of lazy like that.
Yes.
So.
And call Joe on a cell phone, 314-497.
So you only got to come up with the last four, and you can talk to Creepy Joe.
10 times 10 times 10 times 10. Is that how that works?
Combinations? I was told there would be no math.
So you've only have that many combinations to figure out. So
good luck.
Trust me, it's worth it. I'll give you my ex-girlfriend's phone number. It just starts with the same.
Totally worth
9,999 total.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good luck. Yeah. So,
if you have nothing to do.
Sure. So anyway, there's where you can find us. We appreciate it if you rate and review us, and everyone that has, we appreciate you even more because you actually did it. So I believe that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next episode, we will tackle Steve Jobs. Not really, because he's dead.
And that would just be rude.
And we could probably catch up with him because he's shoeless. And I say that because he was like a Zen Buddhist, right?
I don't know
that hippie was getting buried without shoes on. Like, come on.
He got buried in the turtleneck.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's coming up on the next episode. Until then, you've been warned.
And the winners of the first annual Starlight Battle of the Bands are...
There's music in the air. News is in the making. Music in the air. Something big is breaking. Wow, look around at the sight and the sound. Did we take you by surprise that you can't believe your eyes?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you! I'm Jem! And these are the holograms!